If you do have your Bibles, please have them open to Matthew chapter 8. Now, this is a bit of the Gospels that we read that, in probably most instances, is just kind of a story that takes place and we carry on to other things. I don't know how sometimes, whenever we're reading the Gospels, if we see stories like these, that we sometimes just kind of skip over them to get to the next thing that's in there. Or if you're like me, when it comes to reading or it comes to films, I have to carry on. So it's difficult to just read a single account and then stop. For me, if it's a TV show or if I'm reading a book, I've got to finish it, even if I don't enjoy it, because I need to know the ending. But today, we're just going to take a small glimpse at this particular story that's happened. And I find it really interesting because of the one phrase that Jesus says is that he marveled at the faith of this man. And I think to myself, you have Jesus that marvels at the faith of a person. That must have been some faith that Jesus looked at it and kind of went, and I think about that and I look at that and I look at myself and think, how often am I so lacking in faith? You know, it's easy to kind of be on those up moments, you know, whenever we feel super close to God, when things are going our way, we're like, yes, we're unstoppable. But then as soon as something bad happens or as soon as our situation changes, we very quickly go down into the woe is me. God, I don't know if you can get me out of this one this time. And we look at our prayer life and we think about our prayer life and how often are we shocked when the Lord answers prayers? Genuinely, how often are we shocked? Because I know I am. You know, I'll be praying about something. I'll be bringing it before the Lord. I'll be looking at it. I'll be just pouring my heart out over it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then God answers the prayer and I'm like, whoa, I can't believe God did that. And I'm shocked at the fact that God answered my prayers. And I almost approach sometimes my prayer life as in, God, I don't really have much confidence that this is going to work out. I don't have much confidence that this is going to be okay, but you tell me to bring it before you, so I'm going to bring it before you, and let's see what you can do. But if you don't, I'm kind of expecting nothing to happen anyways, so off we go. And then God answers it, and it's just like, wow, I can't believe that. And then kind of had this moment of, yes, everything is great. I can't believe God answered this prayer. And then kind of sink back in. And I wanted to challenge myself and each other as we look at this about how can we grow in our faith? Because ultimately, that boils down to our lack of faith in God. It boils down to our lack of faith in what he can do. And it puts limits on what we think we can and can't do within the power of God. Now, I don't want to go super Pentecostal with a lot of this stuff, but at the same time, you know, the power and the authority that we carry as Christians is massive. And I think so often we just kind of have it as an underscore of our lives. So I want to go back to the very basics and I want to go back to the very beginning. So I want you to, for a minute, remember the time in your life whenever you first became a Christian, whenever you first had that realization of who Christ is, what he's done for you as a sinner on the cross, that he took your punishment that you deserve and made it to where we are viewed as righteous in the eyes of God. I want you to go back mentally in that state and think about, A, the power that you felt you had. I don't know about you, but I felt like I could punch a mountain in half. Like, I just had this overwhelming, like, I am so confident right now in the Lord. I'm so confident in who I am because of the things that God has done in me and through me. It's not by my own confidence, but it's through the Holy Spirit. And then the first catastrophe happens. And all of a sudden, the wind has been taken out of my sails a little bit, and I start to kind of go back. In that beginning, at the same time, we're very young in our faith, aren't we? We're very young in our understanding. We have that general knowledge of who God is and what he's done for us. But then outside of that, we're very young. And it's just like a baby. that we have to grow in our understanding of Scripture. We have to grow in our understanding of who God is. And for a season, that's okay. But if we're staying in that milk phase, at some point it gets a bit awkward. And I'll put it in a more simple way, in that when a kid throws a fit, sometimes, well, we know that kids are going to throw fits and temper tantrums, and they're going to throw themselves on the floor and kick and scream and all those kinds of things. And at some point, it's almost cute, isn't it? Because they don't know how to express themselves, and they're just doing it on the best way that they know how. But if you had, let's say, I'm going to use Francois as the example. If Francois had gone into Morrison's and they had found out that they ran out of sausage rolls and couldn't get any more, and he laid on the floor kicking and screaming and crying, it would be funny, but you would ultimately look at that and go, it's a bit pathetic, isn't it, really? You're a grown man. You can go get sausage rolls, or better yet, go make them yourself. I bet they'll taste better than Morrison's anyways. But whenever the child does it, we don't really question it, because we know that that's them. They're learning. They're discovering how to express themselves. But if a grown-up does it, it's weird and sad and just a bit, come on, let's grow up a bit. And so often, I think that's where we can get stuck within our spiritual walk with the Lord, is that we've kind of gotten in this state, okay, we have this basic understanding of who He is, and we're happy and confident in that. And any challenge to that is going to make us feel uncomfortable, because growing pains are uncomfortable. I don't know if any of you remember whenever you started growing more and more that it hurts. I was the awkward kid that didn't grow until I was like 17, and I grew my entire height in the summer. And I remember my knees and my feet killing me because of the pain of growing. But we know that it's uncomfortable, but we know that it's going to end up being better in the end result. But sometimes the pain for us and the discomfort for us is so overwhelming that we can't see past it to grow. And I think that's so often with us in our spiritual journeys, is that, you know, we can be super confident. We can grab the Word of God, and then we can be reading it and be super excited and super confident. And then we get into a difficult book like Romans and go, we'll go back to John. And then, you know, you get through that again, then you get to another book and you're having to go through it. And, you know, you get to Deuteronomy or Leviticus, and you go, all right, let's go back to Matthew. And we get into our comfort zones within Scripture, and we don't go to the challenging parts. We don't go to the things that we kind of struggle to understand. And then we just float and hang out in those few books, and we miss all the rich joys that are in this book, because we're happy and content in the John 3:16 theology of us, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having that mentality, but at some point we have to go beyond all these kinds of things. So I have 4 points, and I've already kind of blew through the first one anyways, but is that infancy is okay for a season. It's okay for a season for us in our spiritual walk and in our physical walk. The infancy is okay for a time, but eventually we have to get up and move on beyond that. And here's the thing. This is my actual first point, is that if you have been redeemed, you will grow. It might not be at the pace that what we all want, but if you are redeemed by God, that is, if you are born again, then you will grow in your knowledge and understanding of Him. But it has to take work. And we see this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where it says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So we can see that we will grow in our faith, and we will grow in our understanding of Him. But we have to put in effort to do that. We can't simply just, right, well, I've been saved now, I'm going to sit here until I start growing. Because just like anything else, you know, if you grew up your entire life and never went to school, never had any education, you're not going to grow, are you? You're going to be at that same level you were whenever you sat down. And it's the same with the Word. Except the thing is that our knowledge and understanding that we learn from school is going to eventually go away. But the knowledge and understanding that we know in Christ is for eternity. It's our eternal education of him. As we get to know him better, we appreciate him more. It's like anything else. Anybody, you can just do a quick show of hands. Anybody, whenever they're growing up, especially in their teenage stage, their parents were their number one enemy? Certainly. My parents were my absolute enemy. I didn't want anything to do with them. Whenever they come and talk to me, it was like I can't get out of that conversation quick enough. Often I'd get home from school, go in, shut the door, and off I go. Now, those same people that said that their parents were their number one enemy as a grown-up, who now enjoys very much spending time with them and talking to them, and they've all of a sudden become really good friends. And you're at one point, you're thinking, I can't wait to get out of your house. And now you're like, I kind of like you being around. You know, I like to talk to you now. I like to get to know you better. And that relationship that you have now, I would guarantee, is much more richer and deeper and fuller with them than it was whenever you were a teenager. Am I correct? Because you've gotten to know them on a much deeper level. You've gotten to know them in a way that you understand them. You have the same problems that they might have had. You know, if you're a parent, you might be going back to your parents and say, how the heck did you put up with me? Because I gave you so much trouble and upset and frustration. How on earth did you put up with me? And I guarantee those of you who are in Christ who are now have children have never appreciated the gospel more than you do today, because you can see how something so awesome can upset you so much and yet you still love them the same. And it's just the beauty of the gospel. That's another one that is free. So God doesn't condemn us for being young, but he does for being stagnant. You know, we can see of the times in Revelation where it says, talks about being lukewarm and that I will spit you out of your mouth, spit you out of my mouth. That is not a good image to be. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that person that ultimately is rejected and spat out because of being stagnant. But we need to be those that are willing to step into more maturity whenever it comes to Christ, more maturity when it comes to our prayer life, more maturity when it comes to our studying. It's always one of those things that no matter how long you've been a Christian, how often you've read the word, is that growth still takes place. You know, it's like a big tree. It doesn't just stop growing. It continues to grow and it continues to flourish, even though it's already massive. But at one point, it was a single stick in the ground. And it's the same with us in our spiritual walk, is that as we grow, we get bigger and bigger. We understand more. Our relationship with God is richer and it's deeper. And we look back at our simple conversion and think to ourselves, man, how amazing God is, because the appreciation of it is tenfold more because we understand him. We have a relationship with him. We can see the things that he sees. We can feel the things that he feels as we get to know and grow in him. So ultimately, God doesn't condemn us for being young, but he does for being stagnant. But I want to encourage you with this, is that it's not about the pace. It's about the movement. So it's not about how slow we go, but it's about the direction in which we are going in. And that some of us, we're going to maybe at first shoot up like that, and we're going to grow in our understanding and maturity of Christ to a certain point, and then we might slow down a little bit. But that doesn't mean that we go, oh, I'm coming to a slow point, I'm going to hang out here, but that I'm going to continue to push forward. This is that discipleship isn't a program, but it's our lives as Christians. It's a non-optional thing, is that we should be growing in discipleship with one another. Now, there's a cool thing about this church, is that there's plenty of opportunities to be discipled and to disciple. Three of them are Sunday evenings, Bible study, Tuesday, prayer, Wednesday, Bible study. Because the thing is, and you can talk to Francois for 30 seconds and figure out that his desire and passion is Christ, and to see Christ proclaimed by the lips of every person that walks through this door. At me, as another elder, that is my same desire. And Neil would say the same thing, that our desire is to see everybody proclaim Christ and proclaim him by the understanding of who he is, the deeper and richer fullness of who Christ is that we want to see everybody and ourselves grow in the knowledge and understanding of who Christ is, because that's twofold thing. Is that one is that that helps bind you closer to Christ, and two, that helps bind you and us closer together as church. And that's the only way that it can happen, is through us discipling each other, growing each other, helping and encourage each other. Whenever we come through a hard part of scripture, we look at this and go, I don't understand this. There's somebody in this church, I guarantee, will have wrestled and challenged and chewed over that verse that can encourage you in your walk. But here's the thing. Our Christian life is this nice little cocktail of mercy, grace, and works. And if we sit in any one of those too long, we will become shallow and stagnant. If we focus too much on the grace of God, what happens is that we all of a sudden go off and, well, God's going to forgive me for this, so sorry, God, and then jump right into sin. If we hang out too far in mercy, is that sometimes whenever we need to challenge people, we can just be too merciful and not really challenge them and just kind of see areas that people are need to be challenged in and not willing to do so because we're going to play the mercy card all the time. And then the same with works, is that if what we've seen in James is that, you know, works without faith is dead. So if we're just doing things because we're going to get the medal, then we're missing the point to begin with. You know, whenever I was growing up, we had this thing in kind of kids' church on Wednesday nights. It was called RAs and GAs. RAs was Royal Ambassadors, and that was for men. And I always thought that was such a cool name. And I always felt bad for the girls because the GAs was Girls in Action. And I just felt Royal Ambassadors. That sounds so heavy and weighty, and Girls in Action just sounds, eh. But anyways, and one of the things that we had to do within the RAs is that we had to do kind of like scouts. You had kind of tick box exercises. And as you did this thing for that amount of times, you got a little badge that you could put on. I mean, I never had the little sash thing that you could actually put badges on, but I got badges. And I didn't care about any of them. My whole goal was like, right, I'm going to look at the book and see how many I can tick off today. And then I'm going to flick over and see what's the easiest things I can do that's going to give me the most recognition. And there was no heart behind it. There was nothing that was thinking, you know what, I'm wanting to improve or wanting to grow. It was simply that I wanted to look good in front of my peers. And that's the same with us. If we hang out in works too long, and if we're just works-based, is that eventually what happens is that that's going to come through. That we're going, people will quickly find out, oh, you're just doing that because you want to look good. But the thing is that whenever it comes to our understanding and knowledge of Christ and in our growth with him, is that if it's something that we find joy in, it's going to be easy. Anything that we've ever wanted to learn, whenever we've genuinely wanted to learn something, I guarantee you nobody's there twisting your arm behind your back to learn how to do that thing. Whether it's baking, sewing, fishing, doesn't matter. If you want to learn it, you're going to put in the effort and the time to do it. And it's not going to be a burden for you, is it? It might be burdensome whenever you can't do it well. But the thing is that ultimately your whole thing is that you are going to put in the work. You're going to put in the hours because you want to do that thing well. And that should simply be the case with our spiritual life. Now, whenever I was younger, I wanted to memorize scripture. I wanted to, and I still do to this day. I'm not saying that's a thing that I used to have. But it was one of the things that I remember whenever I was in this youth program that I was a part of that brought me over here, is that we were challenged to memorize scripture. And that was one of the things that I kind of always wanted to do, but never really took the time to do it. And I remember sitting there with my Bible open again and again and again, reading through and reading through and saying it, reading it out loud, saying it in my head, reading out loud, saying it in my head, doing stupid voices and accents. That way it sounded different. That way I could get it in my head. And the number one accent that I was able to do that got it stuck in was a terrible, terrible British accent. But I could say it out loud in this stupid accent, and that helped kind of lock it in. But the thing is that I knew in my heart that I wanted to learn and memorize scripture more. So it wasn't a challenge for me. I was enjoying it. And it's one of those things that how many of us are going into opening this book with the, right, well, I better do it today. And it's not the joy, and it's not the fact that we are eating of the fruits of the words of the Lord, that we can taste and see that he is good. Psalms 38. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. And making sure that we're doing stuff not by our own ability and not by our own strength. And men, this is where our relationship with God struggles, and I guarantee it, because us as men, we look at problems and want to solve them. I would wager that most of us men who are married, most of our fights with our wives is simply because your wife has come home and she's wanted to vent to you, and you've said, I got the solution to your problem, baby. I know what I can do to fix this. And it's the same with most other things, that we can look at things, men, and say, ah, I can fix that. I got the tool for that. Or I know the guy that can. And we quickly rush into paramedic mode and try to fix things. And it comes in that no matter what situation that we're in, that we try to come in and fix the problem and do it in our own strength and our own ability because we want to help. You know, it's not necessarily in the intention of that I can do this better than you, so just step aside and let me do it. But it's out of the, I see a problem and I want to fix it. And the thing is that so often there's things that we need to just give to the Lord and let him fix it. And yet we're clinging on to them so tightly. And the thing is that as soon as we let go, the things that God really starts to shake things up. You know, a few weeks ago, we were down driving between Oxford and Windsor, and our car died. And it was the clutch. The clutch went. It was smoking all over the place. We were there on the side of the motorway with my dad and stepmom, just absolutely feeling sorry for ourselves. We were looking at the whole situation. We were looking at the bill that they were trying to charge us to tow it back up to Clitheroe. We were looking at the bill of how much the car was going to cost to get fixed. We were looking at we're like 300 something miles away from home with no car. Parents that have come from the United States to visit us. What do we do? And we tried to fix the problem. The tow guy was the most patient man in the world, because we were just kind of between frustrated phone calls and everything else, just give us 5 more minutes, hold on, and go and try and sort it, and just give us 5 more minutes and sort it. And I remember this whole time praying about the entire situation, and I knew what the answer was. I just didn't want to do it because it involves my wallet. And so I was sitting there and I'm just thinking, I there's another way, I swear. And then eventually it came to that moment of that this is the only solution. And it involved my wallet. And so did it. And I remember whenever we were getting to the rental car place, because we decided we're going to carry on with the holiday despite not having a car. And so we did. And we got back up to Clitheroe afterwards. And we had the car drama still going on and still trying to entertain my parents and not just ruin the rest of the holiday for them. And we were coming into the back end of it all. And I was sitting there and I was just like, God, I can't fix this. I can't do anything about it. But we need a car and we need you to do something. And the Lord just started to do one thing and the next. And we got to see firsthand the Lord just bless us immensely in that situation. And the thing was, is that now the situation isn't still fully resolved. There's still issues. There's still things that we have to take care of. But the peace that we have within it and the situation that we have seen has just been overwhelming. And the whole time after that whole occurrence happened, I think to myself, God, I can't believe you did it again. And I'm sitting there and thinking to myself, how shallow was my faith in that moment? How shallow was my faith in that moment, thinking that God couldn't do something, no matter what it was? How irritated I was at myself, the fact that it was such a small minor detail that I let work me and my family up. that I was trying to do it in my own strength, my own ability, trying to do it the ways that I thought was best. And ultimately, Christ did what he saw best. And that's the thing with it as well, isn't it? We can see that time and time again in Scripture. You know, look at the account of Moses. Moses did not want to go back to Egypt. He gave God all kinds of excuses as to why he can't. We'll send somebody else. You know, I don't have a good reputation there. Oh, well, I can't speak well. And God's whittled him down to where he's just, all right, I'll go. And what amazing things did God do through Moses for his people? And you see, you look back at the story, you know, and you see how much growth took place in Moses. You have this guy who is there so lacking in confidence, lacking in ability, lacking in certainly his stature, and then going in with confidence in Christ, confidence in the Lord to split the Red Sea, to get water out of a rock, to see the plagues unroll before his eyes, and that only a few, not so long ago, he was there shaking in his sandals, to then walking in that power and authority. So how do we get this? We need to make sure we're seeking God daily and putting ourselves in opportunities to share. I know everyone has probably heard this a million times, but the only way we're going to get to know anybody is if we talk to them. And the only way we're going to get to know the Lord is if we talk to him and see what he's said. You know, the word is not just a book to be taken lightly, but it is the word of God. It is absolute, total truth. It is the book of life. It is the love letter of God written to his people. And how nice is it to get a love letter, to hear the affections that person has for you, to hear the desires to see you, hear the I can't wait until then moments that we have by the creator of the universe. And yet it's the most neglected book most of the time. So we need to get to the root of our issue. And the root of our issue is always and always going to be our heart. Our heart is the issue. Our heart is easily deceived. Our heart is easily corrupted. And so we need to be seeking that daily. You know, you want to, I've had people challenge me before, saying, my heart's not corrupted. Well, Scripture says otherwise. Go read Proverbs for a few minutes and you can see very clearly that our hearts are easily deceived and our hearts are very corruptible and our hearts are easily able to change our thoughts and minds. That we are a fickle people. You know, I don't know about you, but so often I look in Scripture and look at the disciples. They were walking around with Jesus for 3 years straight. They got to see his miracles. You know, we can see later on that there was more miracles than could be accounted in the book. They got to see all these things firsthand. They were even sent out in the authority that Christ had to go and do these things. And yet, as soon as trouble arose, nowhere to be seen. And we can look at the Israelites. I don't know about you, but I read some of the Old Testament and I get angry at the Israelites of like, how foolish are you? God is taking you from here to here. God is giving you this and this. God has made this promise and you've broken it a mazillion times. And still God comes back to you and says, I'm reinstating the promise, not that I've broken, that you've broken. And I'm going to bring you back, and I'm going to bring you back, and I'm going to bring you back. And we have more than half of the entire Bible is that story of the Israelites turning their backs to God. You know, we heard last week about how Israel had turned their back to God, how they wanted to hang out in the Baal camp, and they wanted to also claim the righteousness that they had through being Israelites. And again and again, we see them turning their backs. And I read that and just think, oh, how irritating. God must be so fed up with them at this point. And then I look at my life and think, it's not that different. It's really not. How many times in my life have I been on this moment where I'm just like, God, I feel so close to you. I feel like I know you. I feel like we're walking in the same step. We're our hearts are beating in the same heartbeat. And then something happens. And then all of a sudden, my back is turned and my desires have changed. And then all of a sudden, God pulls me back. And then I'm like, yes, God, this is great. And then so willing to throw it aside for something else. So willing to throw it aside to watch something else. So willing to throw it aside to listen to something else. And I don't even bat an eyelid sometimes. And then afterwards, I think about it and think, man, what an opportunity I missed. And I think to myself, we're not that different from the Israelites. We're really not. That the so many times in our life, things are great and good and going well. And then the catastrophe happens and all of a sudden it's, God, where are you in this moment? How can this be? And then there's a breakthrough that happens. God answers prayer. And then, yeah, God, you're awesome. You're great. But declaring God's goodness in the high times is good and right. But declaring God's goodness in the difficult times, that is where the growth happens. That's where the things of our spiritual walk and our faith grow, because it is not through our ability and our strength, but through Christ. You know, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Doesn't simply refer to nice, beautiful, sunny days in England where it's been beautiful for 3 weeks. And we kind of look at this and go, you know what? This is pretty great. I got a little bit more balance in my step. I've noticed around town that people are a lot more chattier and a lot more friendly. And then the rains come and we're like, for today, we're like, you know what? That's good. It's good it rained because everything was getting a little bit dry. I'm glad it's rained. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. But then whenever it's February and it hasn't stopped raining for 6 months and we're thinking to ourselves, man, this is miserable. The attitude in the heart changes, doesn't it? And that's only in the weather. Now imagine all the other things that we go through in those moments where we're like, God, dude, this is pretty awesome. You know what? I could see myself living here all the time. And then those moments that the rain starts coming, you're like, ah, it's okay. God is sovereign. God will still get me through this. You know, it's a temporary setback. The sunshine's coming. And then you kind of look around and you think, I haven't seen the sun. And I didn't even know the sky was blue anymore for so long. That's the day that the Lord has made. And we will still rejoice and be glad in it. Because as I've said multiple times, of that, if we've had nothing, absolutely nothing else, I'm talking strip back everything from our existence and our knowledge and our understanding of us as people, especially in the West, if we were to strip all of that back and we had nothing, we were naked in the world, we had no place to lay our heads, we had nothing to entertain us, we had nothing to grab our attention, and if we had nothing else in the entire world, we would still be able to say those same words because of the things that Christ did for us on the cross. That we could live in that moment of that knowing that Christ is this. If we lived in the authority, as Hebrews 10:39 says, that we're not those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the souls, that have the faith of preserving our souls, that have the faith of knowing that, you know what, this situation is no good. I don't enjoy it. I'm not happy. I'm not having any fun right now. But I know that God is sovereign over all, and that God has this situation and every other situation in the palm of his hand. You know, the things that are going on in our life, God's not shocked by it. You know, God doesn't look at that and go, whoa, that was out of left field. I didn't see that one coming. God is the sovereign king of the universe. And often these times are the times that God's wanting to grow us and develop us. You know, we can't live our entire life on the hilltop moments, but looking in the valley and seeing the beauty that's around us still because of his goodness. So I just wanted to challenge you today and myself of that. How is my faith? Is it weak? Is it immature? Is it lacking? Or is it strong? Because it might be good today whenever we're in an up moment, whenever we can see, you know what, it's been a sunny few days and the rains have come, and we can see that creation is starting to grow more, and praise the Lord for the rain. But whenever it comes to the difficult times in our lives, we can still say, praise the Lord, because he has saved and redeemed me, that he has sent Christ to take the punishment for the sins that I've committed, that it is only through him that I can come to the Father, and that I can come to the very throne room of the majesty on high. And imagine if we're living in that moment, how our prayer life would change, how our studying the scriptures would change. Whenever we have that mindset of that, you know what, everything's going wrong, but praise God that he is on the throne. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you that you have given us the blessing of having faith. We thank you that we can't do things by our own ability, Lord, and that it's only through you, that you are the sovereign King, that every situation that comes before us and that has come before us, Lord, we know that you are sovereign over that situation. Lord, we thank you that you have made a way for sinners to be reconciled back to the Father, that is only through the blood of Christ that we can stand. As I pray, Lord, for us today that have faith that needs to grow, Lord, I pray that you would just grow us. Lord, we know that that is a dangerous prayer, because with that comes the discomforts of life, Lord, but we are so willing to go to be uncomfortable for your name's sake. Lord, help us to put our pride aside so that we can grow in you. We thank you, Lord. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.